Welcome back, my friend. Welcome back to the broadcast. Let's get right back into it. So we got Gary and we got Chris tonight, and Chris had paid attention to his paperwork, and he looked at the dates and made sure he studied his case closely. He didn't rely on a public pretender or an attorney. I can understand when people do take an attorney or a public pretender because it's tempting. I mean, it's intimidating, and often the court makes you think you have to. But ultimately, from what I'm seeing, people are better off exercising their prerogative to manage their own case. And really, if you had a good attorney, or if there was such a thing, and I know, and we got some listeners out there who are going to yell, throwing stuff at the radio now. I know there's a few good attorneys out there. I mean, there are some guys, very few, trying to seek justice. But once again, they're locked in by the procedural system that is the Antichrist system. So they're bound to have to go through certain motions that you should not have to go through. They're barred and prevented, banned, prohibited from going certain places like the vicar. You're never going to hear an attorney. Hey, Mr. Attorney, can we send a copy to the vicar? You try it. Good luck with that one. So you're better off managing your own case, especially for the smaller and medium cases where, you know, you're not being accused of, you know, capital offense where it's murder. I mean, if you're being accused, then you might want some assistance, in which I can see the people who take the attorney. I do not fault them, but I encourage people to just at least, and if you had a good, to my point was, if you had a good attorney or a good lawyer, they're supposed to let you kind of work on the case with them. They're not supposed to just say, I'll take care of it and file that. That's a bunch of baloney. That's when you're getting sold out. Be careful of that one when they start telling you that. You want to be involved in your case very intimately. Go ahead, Chris.
One thing I want to do, since you mentioned there are some good lawyers out there, this case that I just gave you on that Dantzler case is actually from the Rutherford Institute. They're a public pro bono advocacy group that does quite a bit of work that's very excellent in defending private property rights and other things like that. They wrote a book called Battlefield America and the War on the American People. So they're very
Speak up a little and repeat the name of that outfit.
Sure. It's called the Rutherford Institute.
Oh, they're the Rutherford Institute, yes.
Yep. Yes. And they've got a couple of books out called The Battlefield America and the War on the American People. And so the Rutherfords are the one that gave me that case in my email today from that Western District of U.S., the Huntley Dantzler and Susan Dantzler versus the police department down there on their abuse of force, warrantless search and seizure, and so on and so forth that I read earlier.
Oh, so they were helpful. That's great.
I'll let you take the other callers.
Yeah, well, let me just say that, yeah, I am definitely familiar with the Rutherford Institute. They are one of the few that's really out there trying to, you know, get some justice, and they're good out. John Whitehead, I think, is his name, and he does excellent work, and I've heard interviews with him, and he's for real, and that's a good outfit. So many of the other ones have sold out. I mean, I can think of very few that are still for real. Rutherford's one of them. You know, Courtroom Observers is still pretty authentic. You know, there's very few. I don't have much faith in CISPA, which is Constitutional Sheriffs. I have serious issues with some things that Sheriff Mack has done and said. And, you know, Panda got taken over, and so did the National Liberty Alliance. And it could go on and on. And, you know, the Citizens Action Networks is getting hassled now, I heard. So just, you know, they really are trying to make life miserable. Technical interference with broadcasters such as myself and Lori and Gary and Chris. So it's always something. But it's excellent to hear that Chris at least, you know, presented his case with the facts and said, hey, the 8 days, they had to drop it. So that was good. We're not talking about 8 minutes. We're talking about 8 days. That's an indisputable window of time that Chris pretty much had him on. Between the time that your plates expired and the time they told you, they prematurely towed your car before anything was expired. Correct, Chris?
That's exactly right. And another thing that's really important, Eric, I don't want to diminish what happened today, because you and I, we both do our time in courts for quite a long time watching these processes go down and learning how to defend ourselves by doing so, mm-hmm. by noting the defects in the processes every day. We have to put our time in there. It's not for this, the average individual. without doing quite a bit of preparatory due diligence to walk in there and think they can defend themselves and beat these things every time, because I can guarantee you that's not going to happen every time.
Oh, no, absolutely not. This is, and you, anybody who listens to this broadcast knows that I am not a good news pimper or anything like, hey, everything's great, look at all these victories we're having. I mean, when it's going bad, I'm saying it's going bad. And even when it's going only kind of bad, I'll be saying it's going bad, because it's, we're that close to it. If it's not totally bad, it's partially bad. There's nothing good going on in the system. Now, occasionally, when there is a victory, I got to say it, because it blows my mind. It's great news to me. I'm sure everybody else likes to hear it. And the small victories like we had, you know, with the state, they had to drop it here because of our constant challenge to their oath and bond. And Chris has had his thing, and everybody can be intimately involved. If you're in the witch's court right now, and I know a lot of listeners to this broadcast are involved with the witch's court right now, one way or another, in going into a case, in the middle of a case, at the end of a case, suffering the ramifications of probation or parole or whatever. And you know, once again, this prisons are stacked chock full of people who have hurt nobody but themselves, and usually not even themselves. So it's usually property crime. You're possessing this. You're not possessing that. Show me your papers. Your papers are expired. You didn't comply with the court order. You missed your probation thing. You failed a drug test. You blah, 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 blah. None of it has a victim to it. It's all just absolute obscene, statutory, obligatory garbage. And let me tell you, it is the carbon. I couldn't believe, and I know this already, but I still couldn't believe it, how close it was to ancient Rome. Long and short, I'll cut right to the conclusion. Rome hasn't gone anywhere. Nothing's changed. The exact playbook that the Roman Caesars and tribunes and commanders of the legions and the knights, they had knights in Rome. The knights was before England, or, I mean, at least equal to, if not earlier than. I mean, we're talking, this is where all this stuff that you see in the Western world emanated from, and it's still going on today. So let me get right to this thing that I watched, and I got to say, the powers that run the corporate media, where you'll hear some of these stuff, for example, the History Channel, the Military Channel, blah, 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 Discovery Channel, you know, you're going to get corporate spin. There's only so much they can change history, because a lot of the stuff is there in the ancient text, and the books are there if you want to go to England and some of these old libraries and look it up. And so there's a limit to what they can get away with the lies. But it was very, here's what I saw. Watching this documentary on, I think it was the Military Channel, and I didn't watch it on TV, I watched it on the internet, because I do not own an idiot box. TV went a long time ago, and I'm just going to find other things to do. I think it was the Military Channel, the big M up in the corner. It was a documentary on the internet, and the historians and the archaeologists that they were interviewing at every turn, and this happened multiple times, it was like watching Trump repeat himself incessantly to the point where it's bizarre. Every time there was a moral argument or a freedom pro people or a good leader or anything that was, no, this guy, he couldn't have done it out of humanitarian reasons. It had to be for furthering of his own career. And in this case, that's a bunch of bullcrap. You can tell by the guy's actions that he had a fit of conscience. And it was this Roman knight who was a, when the Roman legions went into Germany, which was Germania at the time, the first thing they did, now they didn't talk about this, they didn't expand upon this and open it up like I'm going to, they just blew right by it. But this was the most insidious and disgusting thing, but they said, the first thing the Romans did, and they had, you know, kind of a reenactment going on with the legionnaires coming in and grabbing the children. The first thing they did was take the little ones, the little boys and girls, they'd grab them, especially the young boys, and they'd put them into Roman society, mostly the military. They didn't put them in, at least they weren't pedophiling them like they are now, and our government's even worse. But they were taking the kids, and for two reasons. Number one, you got a hostage. That means their parents are going to behave back on the home front in Germany. And you've also got new Romans, conscript, and they brainwash the young boys who become soldiers. And this one guy named Arminius rose all the way to the top. He was the number two man to Varus, who ran three legions back up to Germany. He was the traitor. He was the sellout guy. He was the person from Germany who they trained to be a Roman, and he was a fanatic. I mean, he was all Rome, baby. He was like the Nazis, no joke. He was like a fanatical. Hitler can do no wrong, and there were guys like that in Germany who really believed in the cause, and went down with the ship. And you know, the Waffen-SS officers, a lot of them were complete fanatics. And so anyway, he was kind of like that until Rome went too far. It did exactly what they're doing in our society today. First, they grabbed the children, just like CPS, Child Pedophile Services. Every city and town has a CPS agents who open cases and try to find as many children as they can. The second thing was the tax thing. Taxes had to be paid immediately on schedule. They take a large amount, and without any argument or delay whatsoever, they immediately seize all your property. Just like today with the property taxes and the government stealing people's private homes and tax foreclosures. What was the other one? Oh, this was how appropriate was this? All of a sudden, and this was not a custom of the Germanic tribes. Then, when they had a dispute among the people, they'd sit down with the entire family, both families. Okay, for the two people, if they had a disagreement, well, each one would bring their family, and they would all sit down and negotiate out and work it out. Only when the vicars came in. Did you have one man judging as a tribune or a judge sitting there, and he, even in the documentary, was wearing the witch's black robe? I kid you not. I couldn't stop laughing, as grotesque as it was. They started hanging. They started crucifying people locally for theft. So if somebody stole something, or if somebody got framed for it, or somebody thought they stole it and it was a mistake, tie him to the cross and let him die up there. That's a historical fact. And this guy saw his people being slaughtered, and he had a fit of conscience and totally turned against the Roman army, was playing both sides, going back into the Roman camp at night and over to the Germanic tribe meetings during the day. And you know, he ran this huge group of cavalry that was very powerful, so he could kind of get away with slipping in and out. How he did it, I have no idea. He got accused of one of his traitorous tribe members said, you know, there's a conspiracy going on. Arminius is conspiring against you. And the Varus, who was the head of the three legions and Caesar's personal guy, he said, I could never be. He would never betray us. And sure enough, he did, and destroyed the entire three legions, long and short. Bye-bye. So that was very interesting to watch the exact same thing. The property taxes, where they take your food or your property or your money. I mean, a lot of people aren't eating right because all their money has to go to paying property taxes every year. And it was identical. Starve them out through high taxation. Take the children through CPS. And guess what? The surrogate court in New York is appointing Catholic charities to examine children after they're seized by CPS. And guess who runs Catholic charities? The vicar, whose boss lives in Rome.
You've got
so nothing. Nothing's changed. We're going to go to our caller now. Who is it? Louisiana? Ken in Oklahoma. How are you, Ken? Thanks, Mike.
I'm good. My name's Jim. How you doing, Eric?
Jim. Got it, Jim. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. I got a couple of questions for you about the bond.
Yes, sir.
How do you find out, you know, if you're going to deal with a certain public officer, how can I find out if that person has
okay,
a bond?
Okay, type into your search engine. First, you want to find out if it's required by law, and about half the states in the country have that or something similar. So you type in Oklahoma public officer's law. That's public officers law. That's what it's called in New York. Now, there's also other provisions for an oath and bond in the civil servants law. That's the civil servants law. So type in Oklahoma public officers law, see what comes up. Type in Oklahoma civil servants law, and then type in requirement for public officers in Oklahoma to hold oath and bond. That might get you somewhere that you didn't get in the other searches. And just use your imagination and keep be persistent. Find a good search engine. You know, I'm a little disappointed in StartPage.
StartPage?
They had a bunch of...
Oh, you are?
Well, I usually, StartPage, S-T-A-R-T, next word page, P-A-G-E, at StartPage.com. I would use that for now. Be careful, because I was trying to get to the chat room for this broadcast, which is at freedomstreamradio.chattango.com. So I typed that in, and it said, oh, you can't access site. Your family filter may be on. They had me automatically on some, quote, family filter that was filtering
they're just,
out.
They're just looking out for you, man, you know. They don't want you to see something offensive accidentally. That's all it's
true. They're treating George Senior in a push. They're treating Patriots like porno. It's absurd. Go ahead.
What does it take to get a bond? You know, how much are they asking for? Because that's not insurance, man. They want you to be able to produce however much the bond is. You know,
let's just suffice it to say,
the sheriff in Tulsa, man, they're making $23,000 a year. So how are they going to be making that much? Barely enough to survive, and now they got an extra insurance bill too. Plus, they got to be able to produce, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Right, and they can't do it.
Is that what it takes to get a bond?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I would say it's anywhere from thousands up at least to tens of thousands, and you're right. That would be half their paycheck. They don't want to get the bond, so they just break the law. And in most states, they just don't get it. They have an oath filed with the state, and they think that that's enough. And if you challenge them enough on where's your bond, you know?
How much are the premiums?
I wouldn't know. The premiums, if you had to pay a premium on top of the initial expense for the bond outright, you would be talking at least hundreds of dollars a month and thousands of dollars a year. It's a lot of money, and that's too bad, because the public officer's law requires it. That means they have to get it. Let them come up with the money or not be a public officer, because once they're bonded, you can act against that bond. And a lot of times if you find out who the bonding agent is and they get enough complaints on an officer, they'll dump them, and they won't be able to get a job anywhere else in the country once that happens. So
all right,
that's a good way to go.
Check this out. Check this out, Eric. Oh, man. I had another question for you, man.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Stay there. We'll be right back. Hold right where you are.
All right.
We'll be back with Jim in Louisiana. We're talking about Oath and Bond on Freedom Stream with Eric the Freedom Screamer. We'll be right back after this break on the RBN Network.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
My friends, welcome back to the broadcast. We're talking about Olson Bond again tonight, revisiting that, because in many states, I believe it's 15 at least, there's a public officer's law that clearly states public officers must have an oath and a bond filed with the county clerk or their position is vacant, and in many instances like New York, it's a misdemeanor, punishable by fines or imprisonment. So none of the troopers have a bond. I've already looked into it with the highest level. So, but go ahead, Jim. Anything else you want to?
Yes. You know, they got the harp machine turned up to 11 right now, and you know what they say: don't ever let a good geoengineered weather crisis go to waste. So, the Polk County Sheriff in Florida, you know, he's getting ready to check everybody's IDs and papers who's trying to get into the shelter. And I think that's against the Fourth Amendment, you know. Oh, and I told him that, but I don't think that's to stop him. So you think it's possible to, like, find out, check out the whole force down there, you know, and see if they have bonds or not, and then get them out of service if they don't have bonds?
Yeah, start with the chief. Start with the chief. Yeah, in Newburgh, New York, we found out that the chief of police in Newburgh, New York, his name escapes me. I got it written down somewhere. But he was persecuting a young black fella who was just simply at a store and was accused of harassment, I believe, was the charge. And the woman claimed inappropriate touching. And then they reviewed the video and found the kid was completely innocent. He didn't touch anybody. And the cops still wanted to arrest him. And they're still hassling him. It's a nightmare. And the chief of the Newburgh Police Department has no oath and bond whatsoever filed with the county clerk. I checked with the records, two departments at the county clerk's office, and there is no oath and bond on the chief of police. And they were clear that he doesn't have one, and he's in violation of the New York public officer's law. He's actually committing a misdemeanor. So I check out the chief of police first. And all his top goons, and then on an individual basis, any individual officer that comes in contact with any individual is going to be required to produce his oath and bond, regardless of excuses or ignorance of the law, which they're out there perfectly willing to enforce, and that while simultaneously claiming they don't know it, and we got to go get a lawyer to get our stuff back.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to do that.
Yep. Start at the top. Thanks. Start at the top of the pyramid. Shoot high and work down. Anybody's getting prosecuted, because you know what he's going to do. He's going to run people's ID and see if they got an outstanding ticket or an outstanding warrant or this or that. Just arbitrarily could do anything he wants. In these states of emergency, these goon squads think they can do anything they want to do. That's why they're so dangerous.
Oh, but it's for the women and the children, though.
Of course, yes. We got to keep it for the children. We got to keep
away from the predators.
We need to make America. And Trump said it. We got to make America safe again. Boy, that always scares me. We can keep ourselves safe. Wouldn't you
don't
agree?
Be scared, man. What's that?
We can keep ourselves safe. We don't need the government to keep us safe. You know what I mean?
You and I. But most of those people down there, you know, they're gonna go and check themselves into the county jail. And what's going to happen when there's, you know... My question, I asked them, don't you segregate women and children and sex predators into jail? Why can't you do that in the shelter?
Right. I mean, and look, if there's even a need to do it, I would just, you know, look, it's like any other event. You have security that's basically minding their own business until there's a scuffle. I mean, that's really, and which usually doesn't happen if people are genuinely trying to get out of harm's way. It usually happens when the government creates these small cities under stress like they did at the Dome in New Orleans, where there was no food, no facilities, no bathroom, no shower, no place to sleep. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just laying on concrete. That's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Man, I don't mean to be harsh, but in my 43 years of living, I've known that those places down there, they get a hurricane every year. So if I lived down there, I would just have another place up in the mountains up north. And when they let me know 3 days before it comes that it's coming, I would just leave and go to my other house. But
most
people don't listen
to
RBN, so they don't learn that kind of stuff.
I know, and it's a shame. And if you can't afford the house in the country, go camping for a couple of days. That doesn't cost very much. So there's always where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. That's a great call. Thanks a lot, Jim. Keep in touch with us.
Well,
we're coming into a break, and after the other side of this break, I promise to get to my clips. Derek, the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
NutraMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains suntein and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Well, don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine, and we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're going to get right back into it. I'm going to try to do two callers and three clips in 30 minutes. Good luck. Okay, here we go. So let's do the callers first. Callers, can you be brief and to the point? And we're going to do Chance in West Virginia, then we're going to go to Sovereign Man, and then I'm going to play a couple of clips before the evening closes. So, Chance, how are you, my friend?
How are you? How are you, Eric? I think Jim
Good,
might
thank
have
you.
A point. I'm wondering if HARP is responsible for these hurricanes myself.
I got to tell you, I saw some really strange stuff. If people type into their search engine, IntelliCast Radar Loop, that's IntelliCast, IntelliCast Radar Loop. Watch the radar. I saw a pink area, extremely large, as if it were a severe, severe thunderstorm, pop up and disappear in a matter of, like, seconds, but which would translate to minutes because it's a three-hour loop over a couple of seconds. So, but this thing flashed up and disappeared like it could have not have been natural. I also saw something in Nebraska that popped up as a perfect circle of rain and then disappeared after, you know, a couple of seconds. This circle was so perfect, it could not have been a natural formation of clouds that produce rain. Also, people keep an eye on, what's it called? Copper Harbor, Michigan. It looks, there's a little Cape peninsula. It looks like an upside-down Cape Cod that comes out of the top up above Michigan near Wisconsin, and it comes up, and right at the tip of that, there's a little mouth, and quite often you can see weather literally spitting out of that place, and I can almost guarantee you there's a weather modification station there. It's all very real, and it's all out there. People do their own research, yeah. I think you're probably right.
I believe so. Now, you mentioned before, I'll be real quick, you mentioned before Battlefield America by John Whitehead. I read that book, and a very astute woman caller called into Mr. Stadtmiller's show and mentioned it. But there's also another book that John Whitehead wrote. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called A Government of Wolves, The Emerging Police State.
Yep, that's the one I'm most familiar with. That's a really good, that'll be a good read for everybody. Government of Wolves by John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Yep.
Very good books. Okay, good night now, and God bless, Eric.
Thank you, my sir. We appreciate you checking in tonight. Give us a call again soon. We're going to go to Sovereign Man. What's up, Sovereign?
Greetings and salutations. I dropped a link in the chat room for Jim. It has to do with indemnity surety bonds. were, you know, local municipalities, and that'll get him started. It lists by city, it also lists by state, and it listed, you know, it's kind of neat. It can get you, get him started to find where
he's going. Great. And tell Jim where to go to find that.
It's freedomscreamradio.chattango, chattango.com.
freedomscreamradio.chattango.com, and the chat tango has one T in it. Okay, and also, could you email me that link as well to my email? Because I had trouble getting onto the Freedom Scream chat room. So email me at Eric, E-R-I-C, and then Hughes, H-U-G.
I got your email, Eric.
I have to repeat it anyway. I'm going to say it again anyway, just for people who don't have it. Eric Hughes, E-R-I-C-H-U-G-H-E-S dot N-Y at Yahoo.com. Eric Hughes dot N-Y. At Yahoo, and so I just wanted to give that out there for the people who don't have it, Sovereign. Thanks for your creation over there. That's awesome.
I thought your email is in the chat header.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Yeah, if you could. I've had trouble getting in there, though. That start page told me
Don't use start page. I hate to say that. But, you know, I use Mozilla Firefox, and then I use DuckDuckGo as my proxy browser. And I turn off the safe. I'm not being fearful. You know, everybody's worried about clickbait. Just don't click on stuff.
Oh, right. I'm not worried about that. I just couldn't get in. They were blocking me. So anyway, yeah, I'm going to no more start page. I agree. Yeah.
Blessings.
All right, buddy. Anything else?
That's it. You know, I want you to get these things in.
Beautiful.
Thanks,
we appreciate everything.
I'm looking forward to listening to Laurie again.
Yeah, me too. She was great. She is great, yep. And she will be great tomorrow night, hopefully.
God willing. She's on it.
Beautiful, yep. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Sovereign Man. All right. Sovereign Man. Thank you, Mr. Man. We have a clip here I want to play. I think I can get all three of these in. We're going to do, if the one from Judge Napolitano, the longer one at the end, gets cut off, we'll just say goodnight and maybe pick it up again tomorrow. But I want to play the Tom Brokaw interview with Donald Trump in 1980. And note the reference to the Masonic number 33 being repeated multiple times, and it's not by accident. Mike, go ahead with that one. Donald Trump, 1980.
Trying to scrape up a down payment for a little fixer-upper in your neighborhood? Take a look at my next guest. There's a report around Wall Street that this is what he has in mind. This is Donald Trump, 33 years old, and some people think that he wants to buy the World Trade Center, the 110-story Manhattan skyscraper that anyone can pick up if they've got the coins. Donald Trump, as I say, is just 33 years old. He took his father's rather modest by current standards real estate empire in Brooklyn and expanded it considerably. He now has an apartment for sale in a new Trump building called the Trump Tower, going up on Fifth Avenue. There it is. You can buy this apartment, one floor of it, one whole floor of that building, that is, $11 million altogether. You bought some prized properties at the bottom of the New York market in the 1970s. Inner cities have been pure gold since that time. Why? Because replacement costs have just gone up so much?
Well, no, not really. I had a great faith in New York. Primarily, our purchases have been in New York. And about 5 years ago, New York was not considered very hot, and cities in general weren't considered too hot. And we purchased the old Commodore Hotel, and we've reconverted that now into about $110 million Grand Hyatt Hotel, which is opening up next week in New York City. And we've made some other purchases that have been fine.
Is that your general advice to people who are interested in real estate investment, though? Look to the inner cities, look to old buildings and doing something with that?
Well, I like the inner cities. I see the inner cities as being sort of a wave of the future now. I think with the problems of fuel and the gasoline shortages and everything else and the transportation, especially in the major cities such as New York and Los Angeles and Chicago, I see the inner cities as being probably, in terms of a real estate or in a real estate sense, probably the most viable investments.
But it's going to be expensive. Apartments in New York City alone, one bedroom, not very large at all, $650 a month. That's tough for the working class, isn't it?
And that's actually now a very low price. In fact, if you have any of them available, I'd like to make
it. I know where I can sell 1,000 of them at that price.
Right.
Actually, that is a low
that's
price.
Right. That's really a very low price now. They're, I know of a couple of buildings, for instance, an Olympic Tower, which is on 51st Street and 5th Avenue. Apartments are being rented by the condominium owners for $5,000 and $6,000 a month, and they're one-bedroom and two-bedroom apartments. So it's, when you say $600, even in other sections, it's almost becoming a low price.
What happens to some of the old buildings in the inner cities that are works of art? You were recently the object of a lot of controversy because you ordered destroyed some sculptures on the a building that you bought that the Metropolitan Art Museum wanted. Why did you have those destroyed, first of all, and what happens to the look of a city?
Well, what we had is we purchased a site with an old department store on it, the old Bonwatello store on 5th Avenue and 57th Street next to Tiffany, and we had to really take the building down. And there were many people that didn't want us to take it down. They wanted to try and preserve the building. But the building really was not worth, as an art building or an art deco building, it really was not worth very much. And we did take it down, and there was somewhat of an outcry, but I think that's generally subsided now, and I think people like what we're doing and like the building that we're putting in its place.
But couldn't you have saved just those sculptures that you had broken?
Well, it would have been very, very dangerous to have saved them. They were, they weighed 2 tons, they were 15 feet high, they were about 2.5 feet thick, and if they would have fallen, they could have fallen the opposite way. If they fall into the building, you don't worry. If they fall out toward Fifth Avenue, people could have been very badly hurt and killed, and it just, to me, it was not worth it. And they've really proven not to be very valuable art structures right now, and we've had appraisals done. In fact, even after the fact, we've had appraisals done, and they've turned out not to be very valuable.
Mr. Trump, what's left in your life? You're 33 years old. You're worth all this money. You say you didn't say that you want to be worth $1 billion.
No, I really don't. I just want to keep busy and keep active and be interested in what I do, and that's all there is to life as far as I'm concerned. I really am not looking to make tremendous amounts of money. I'm looking to enjoy my life, and if that happens to go with it, that's fabulous.
Give me one final bottom line.
Okay, Mike, thank you, Mike. We appreciate that. That's good. We can chop that right there. Did you get enough of that? Did you hear the multiple? How many times did Don Brokaw make sure he repeated the number 33? Okay, that was not by accident. I mean, Trump Tower, Olympic Tower, the Waldorf Astoria, Tiffany's, and he had to destroy the sculptures because they haven't heard of a crane and historic demolition, which means you don't demolish, you take things apart very carefully. Are you kidding me? They couldn't take down a couple of statues on the, and I saw the pictures of the building. They were not very high up there. They couldn't close off the street for a couple hours while they took a statue down where they're just going to take them down with people walking underneath it. Please, they rope off construction zones and no protest zones all the time in New York City. Now I want you to hear how a real patriot talks. Mike, please play the clip from Judge Napolitano, the 5-minute speech that got Judge Napolitano fired from Fox. This is how a real patriotic president would talk if we had one. Roll them, Mike.
Does the government work for us or do we work for the government? Tonight, what if the Constitution no longer applied? What if the whole purpose of the Constitution was to limit the government? What if Congress's enumerated powers in the Constitution no longer limited Congress, but were actually used as a justification to extend Congress's authority over every realm of human life? What if the president, meant to be an equal to Congress, has instead become a democratically elected, term-limited monarch? What if the president assumed that everything he did was legal just because he's the president? What if he could interrupt your regularly scheduled radio and TV programming for a special message from him? What if he could declare war on his own? What if he could read your emails and your texts without a search warrant? What if he could kill you without warning? What if Supreme Court justices no longer looked to the Constitution to determine the constitutionality of a law, but rather simply to what justices who preceded them thought about it? What if the rights and principles guaranteed in the Constitution have been so distorted in the past 200 years as to be unrecognizable by the founders? What if the 50 states were no longer sovereign entities, equals to each other, and parents of the federal government they voluntarily constituted? What if the states were mere provinces of a totally nationalized and fully centralized government? What if the Constitution was amended stealthily, not by constitutional amendments duly ratified by the states, but by the constant and persistent expansion of the federal government's role in our lives? What if the federal government decided if its own powers were proper and constitutional? What if the Constitution were no longer the supreme law of the land? What if you needed a license from the government to speak, to assemble, or to protest against the government? What if the government didn't like what you planned to say, and so it didn't give you the license? What if the right to keep and bear arms only applied to the government? What if posse comitatus, the federal law that prohibits our military from occupying our streets, were no longer in effect? What if the government considered the military an adequate dispenser of domestic law enforcement? What if cops looked and acted like troops and you couldn't distinguish the military from the police? What if you were not secure in your person, in your papers, and in your property? What if federal agents could write their own search warrants in defiance of the Constitution? What if the government could decide when you were and were not entitled to a jury trial? What if the government could take your property whenever it wanted? What if the government could continue prosecuting you until it got the verdict it wanted? What if the government could force you to testify against yourself simply by labeling you a domestic terrorist? What if the government could torture you until you said what the government wanted to hear? What if people running for president actually supported torture? What if the government tortured your children to get to you? What if government judges and government lawyers intimidated juries into convicting the innocent? What if the government could send you to your death and your innocence meant nothing so long as the government's procedures were followed? What if America's prison population, the largest in the world, was a cruel and unusual way for a country to be free? What if half the prison population never harmed anyone but themselves? What if the people had no rights except those the government chose to let them have? What if the states had no rights except to do as the federal government commanded? What if our elected officials didn't really live among us, but instead all had their hearts and homes in Washington, D.C.? What if the government could strip you of your rights because of where your mother was when you were born? What if the income tax was unconstitutional? What if the states were convinced to give up their representation in Congress? What if the government tried to ban you from using a substance in your body that is older than the government itself? What if voting didn't mean anything anymore because both political parties stand for big government? What if the government could write any law, regulate any behavior, and tax any event? The Constitution be damned. What if the government was the reason we don't have a Constitution anymore? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
What do you think about that, folks? Which speech, which one do you like better? Which one sounds more like a patriot president, Mr. Property Shuffler of the Mr. Million Dollar Penthouse in New York, who's recommending? Did you notice in the Trump what Trump talked about? And that those were his formative years. He hasn't changed or anything since then. This is what he developed from. Listen to that speech that Trump made. How he was very clearly encouraging people move into the cities, the inner cities. Not the suburbs, not the cities, he said the inner cities. That's UN Agenda 21. That's UN Agenda 2030. Did you hear Judge Napolitano with the list he just read of government atrocities, the what-ifs, which are taking place? That was his point, what-if. And, yeah, it's here now. Everything from the warrantless searches to the Constitution being defied and property being stolen and police acting like military troops in defiance of all our common law and unalienable rights. Not one word even remotely resembling anything of that has been uttered by Donald Trump, and not one of those things that Judge Napolitano just mentioned has been remedied or changed or in any way reversed or in any way modified or even addressed by the current administration. Everything is window dressing, platitudes, throw the Patriots a few bones, grandstand at the hurricane with your wife wearing the FEMA cap. Now FEMA's great because Trump's in charge of it. Where have we gone? I think we'll get to the final Judge Napolitano clip tomorrow because it's a little longer. Time-wise, that would be more appropriate. So I'll turn it back over to... Oh, we got a caller. Who is it, Mike?
the Fred in Pennsylvania?
Wow, I can't really top that last segment, Eric. That's like the Ron Paul speech in Congress, the one he gave before he left his questioning this and that. What if? That's right. So you got a very powerful rhetorical method right there. Because we know what we're for. We know what we're for, and we just have to be reminded what we're for. It always works. Eric, I want to say there was a guy who just brought up a couple of books, and I have a favorite book that I want people to go and see, and that's called Executive Orders by James Hirsen, H-I-R-S-E-N. And there's not a lot of books on executive orders, especially not in the popular press. And she seems to really prove the case that you have a growth of these executive orders. They're not supposed to apply to take away our rights. They're not supposed to apply to order people around. And also executive agreements, which is a little bit different because it has to do with presidents signing an agreement with a foreign power, and it does not have to go before the public or Congress. Now, that is a way to get and you know, even George Washington was against that kind of a use of the presidential power to get around constitutional provisions by executive agreements. So that's an international order, and executive orders are within the United States, but they are all practically with the war on terrorism. They can reach internationally too. Executive orders can. So you've got Trump, who is now just I said he's got to grow a little courage. If he's going to backtrack on this disastrous appointment of these Goldman Sachs executives. And you know, I don't even understand someone who said, I don't need your money, to the APEC people assembled. Why is he now, you know, saying that he does need the support of these
people? Well, and that's even... I'd almost rather have somebody say, you know, I want your money and do it for the money, but the Trump's doing it because he enjoys being a Zionist. That's even worse. At least if he was taking money, I'd say, you know, the guy's broke. Maybe he needs the money. No, he's doing it because this is his passion. The guy, one of his Goldman Trump people, Cohen, Gary D. Cohen, Trump didn't even know the guy. He came in through Kirshner. And Kirshner says, here, I got this great guy for you from Goldman. Trump says, okay, great, Jared, you're doing such a great job. My daughter, Ivanka, and her husband, Jared, they're doing great work. They're doing such a great job. We love you, Mr. President. Oh, God, it's disgusting. We've been turned over to the Zionists. Nothing has changed. George Napolitano's brief.
Well, this is the thing. Eric, what are these money people? What expertise do they have in ethics? What expertise do they have in something like science? What expertise do they have in history? What expertise do they have in governance and constitutionality? They don't have any expertise in that. These money people are money people. They're, that's all they are.
They're corporate raiders.
They may have a little bit more education than that, and they certainly don't have their heart is in the wrong place, so it's not just a matter of education.
They're corporate raiders, they're pirates, like the sheriffs in Louisiana stealing the guns, no different, and they're thieves. And they legalize their thievery and their stealing and their larceny through the bar, members that are on the legislatures and the witches' court.
And they're occupying the White House. This is not just like, it's not these people who are on just advisory committees. They're occupying the White House. Trump can't walk anywhere without just tripping over them. That's his doing. That's his doing, Eric. It's not anybody else's doing. You can't blame any relatives or son-in-law or anybody else.
Right. Munchkin.
He took that oath. He took that oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help him God. And now he thinks that these money people are above that oath.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's why he said United States and not United States of America. Munchkin and Donovan are both heads of the Treasury. Deputy Secretary and Deputy Secretary of the Treasury is run by Goldman Sachs. How does that serve the people?
And Condi Rice.
I was just going to say they're trying to imply that a good stock market's going to save the country. Eventually, that bubble's going to burst and it's all going to come crashing down.
That's a credit bubble, and you know, we're supposed to now love the Secretary of State because Condi Rice loves Rex Tillerson or whatever the guy's name is. Condi loves him. Yeah, Condi loves him. Does that give you any faith? Any hope?
Yeah, Mr. Big Oil. Where do his loyalties lie? We're about up against the end of the show, Fred.
Okay.
Can you check in with us later in the week or next week anytime?
Yes,
I think we'll be on tomorrow night for sure. And then once again next week. Thank you so much, Fred. It was good hearing from you.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. We got about 30 seconds left. Does anybody want to have a closing word or two? And if not, I'll just say thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to Chris in Las Vegas. They had a victory at the Witch's Court. Amazing. We're very happy about that. Gary in Michigan did another fantastic job of keeping us spiritually anchored tonight and closer to the word rather than farther from it. We thank all the callers out there and who do a great job. I want to thank Mike on the board, John Statmiller, Mike Herzog, pray for Tom Lockabar and all the people in the Bundy cases. Thanks for joining us. Let's take out Gordon Lightfoot as we leave, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.